Before we jump into today's episode, we just want to give you guys a trigger warning. We'll be covering topics of anxiety, depression, and eating disorders. Welcome to this week's episode of It's a Definite Maybe, a podcast for those of you who are just trying to figure it all out with your favorite co-hosts, as always, Rosie and Stella. On today's episode, we are joined by the fabulous Claudia, a fellow Aussie millennial just like us who champions all things mental health. Claudia, welcome to the podcast. We're so excited to have you. Woo!
I'm stoked to be here.
Yay!
It's an honor.
We love it. With every episode where we have a guest, we love to get straight into the nitty-gritty with a few fun questions. So tell us, tell the audience, what is the 411 on all things Claudia? What is the 30-second Snapchat or 60-second, however long you want it to be?
Okay, I'm just going to stretch, get myself ready. Okay, who is Claudia? Oh, this is a big question. She is Claudia, hi. She's 25 and from Sydney. I would like to think I'm a beaches gal, but I'm not. But like the thoughts there, you know, I like to be
sake of this, we can consider you a beaches gal.
I'm a beaches gal. Just put it in my bio.
Perfect.
Beautiful. Surfy beaches gal. But yeah, I work in marketing. I live in Sydney. I love long walks on the beach, and I actually do though, and going for morning swims, photography, all those sort of things.
Such a Sydney girl, like truly.
I am a very Sydney girl.
We love it. So tell us something that is a little bit of a fun fact, something quirky, something that a lot of people might not know about you that would surprise our listeners.
About me specifically.
Yes. I mean, it can be about something you love. It can be something weird that happened to you. Like mine is that I'm an IVF kid. Most people don't know that. And they're like, well, WTF. Yeah. So that's my weird fun fact. I was born in a test tube. Fun.
Fun. Love that for you.
Wild.
I was born out of a birth canal. Not a test tube.
Straight into
it. That was going. Well, my fun fact can be when I took a belated gap year, I was told I needed to find a job. And I was like, okay, random, what am I going to do? My mum, great gal she is, goes, I found you a job. Like, this is it for you. Yay, mm-hmm. whatever. And I rock up to a factory in Purchase Forest. And I'm like, wow, okay, what am I doing? I then proceeded to spend about 4 months packing vagina moisturizers and Botox in a factory, like just putting them in boxes and like
as you do.
Like,
you know what? It pays the bills.
Yeah. Paid the therapy that preceded it.
Very
unique. But yeah, that's my fun fact.
I love it. That's a brilliant fun fact.
Well, to get started with what we have you here today to talk about, mental health in particular, for those of you who have listened to our podcast before, you know that Rosie and I are very passionate about talking about mental health, sharing insights about our mental health and just general advocates for therapy. And you, Claudia, are also passionate about mental health and talking about it. So what sort of things have you been doing in that space?
I have been keeping the industry afloat by going to therapy a lot.
Single-handedly.
I'm keeping the mental health space alive in Australia.
Doing the Lord's work.
You're welcome. Not quite, serious. So I have been very actively speaking about mental health, firstly just in sort of taking that leap into speaking about it a bit to friends, family, and then through my socials, and then sort of took the next step and started working with an organization to do the same sort of thing and just use my lived experience to break the stigma as much as we can, because it's obviously it's still there. It's still very strong.
I think what's resonated with me when we first caught up, and just from what you said as well, is that a lot of people sort of dream of this idea of, oh, I want to make an impact. Oh, I want to be a keynote speaker in mental health or talk about my experience. But a lot of people don't find that courage or how feel safe, I guess, in sharing their experiences. What was that moment for you like when you were like, I need to go through and share what I've been through to help impact someone else's life in a positive way? How do you get into that world of actually feeling brave enough, being able to be that vulnerable to share your story so publicly?
I don't know if you ever really get to a place where it doesn't make you want to like explode a bit. Like, I'm very nervous speaking about it right now, but I think it's just this realization that I sort of had a while ago where I was like, will I help even one person if I speak about it? And for so long when I opened up about it, it was like this sort of self-fulfilling prophecy of there were sort of negative reactions if I spoke about my mental health. So then there was this whole time in my life where I was fighting against like learnt beliefs that actually it is negative to speak about it. And all of a sudden it was, I was at a party for a girl I went to school with who I hadn't seen in maybe like 4 years. And there was another girl from school I hadn't seen in who knows how many years. And she came up to me and said that her brother had been having a really difficult time with his mental health. And she'd shown him a post that I'd put up. Wow. I don't even know what it was, just a random one I did on Instagram or something like 5 years ago. And she was like, that was so important to share. And I think that's the first time I sort of went, oh my God, like you spend the whole time thinking all your followers, because most of them are friends and family and work co-workers, you think they're judging you. And then all of a sudden this person you've not seen in 5 years is like, that made such a big impact to my brother.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's why, like, that's why the discomfort, it never goes away, but you just sort of see that it might help even one person.
Wow, what a moment.
It's a little heartwarming.
I love that.
So what's been the hardest part about sharing your story so far?
Fighting the own thoughts in my head around it. As I said, around that sort of self-fulfilling thing of negative responses, my mind and a lot of people's minds instantly sort of swing to the negative. So I'd post something and in my head I'm thinking of the very worst scenario.
Yeah, and guilty as well.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's like, you know, those, they can unfollow me if they don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
But like nothing will ever change unless some people start to speak about it and maybe make a few people uncomfortable. But like saving a life is more important than one or two people unfollowing you.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. Like you said, if you can connect with one person and help them and help them feel not so alone because they know that someone else, at least one other person, is going through what they're going through on a similar level, that's so worth some people unfollowing you and not necessarily connecting with the content that you're putting out there. Like, you've made a real difference in that person's life.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've obviously been through a lot, and I can sort of tell just in the way that you sort of share your story, and obviously you've got a meaning or a purpose. It's sort of in that you've come to yourself to be like, hey, I've been through a lot of shit. I want to be able to positively impact someone else. Do you, if you feel comfortable too, would you mind sharing with us and the listeners a little bit more about sort of what you've been through or how that sort of shaped who you are today and how you've gone through that rock bottom to come out the other side?
Yeah, absolutely. I would define, I actually, in my speech that I do with that organization, Batia, I in it say that my rock bottom was the packing vagina moisturizers in a factory. But I think it was, you know, it's had phases. And I think that's where that whole term, and I use it, but it's like, unfortunately, there's more than one. There's so many rocks. Like, where do they keep coming from? But they just slap you around a bit. But I think it really hit me when I went to college and went to uni. In my mind, we've never sort of figured out where it started, what exactly happened, but in terms of sort of my journey, everything that was sort of tinkering under the surface slowly just started creeping out when I started uni and started that sort of like mid-adulting life.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what was happening. No one did. So I say that at the start because I did lose some friends, people that didn't understand. And that's another driver for speaking about stuff like this. If people that may not experience it but don't understand it can hear it, maybe the outcome will be different for other people, you know? Yes, it started with little things like not being able to sleep or sort of having panic attacks or quite significant depressive episodes or little sort of hypermanic scenarios where I was like pacing the room in the middle of the night and was just full of all this weird energy. And like that was the very physical sort of start of it. But yeah, in more of a summary, it then took me a long time to really think about it and address it. And yeah, then I realized it was a lot bigger than I thought. And I think that's a thing a lot of people have. They sort of belittle it or go, I couldn't possibly, you know, actually be struggling, especially if everyone around you is sort of reacting weirdly to it. Yeah. So a lot of just instability with emotions and mood, which later in life developed into suffering with an eating disorder. And yeah, I don't want to be boring about it, you know, always finding something new to collect and try and struggle through. I have a very dark sense of humor.
We love it. Lean into it.
If you're not laughing, you're crying. I love that we can go from something like, I'm like so serious right now, like listening to you about this and like having gone through so many similar things, especially like masking and hiding my like depression and anxiety. And then we could just go straight to hear of like, cool, let's collect them like rocks or collect them like plush toys.
A little like, bit of depression, a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of an eating disorder.
Beautiful.
You've got to keep yourself on your toes, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love it. Was there... And, like, I can speak to this quite candidly. I know Stella can as well. But, like, I feel very strongly about this idea of, like, I was very much in denial. I didn't want to accept that I needed professional help because I thought, oh, I'm independent. I can do it by myself. And it was at a similar age, sort of early 20s going through uni. But for you, was there a moment where someone came to you and was like, hey, Claudia, something is wrong and you need help? But not, I know that that didn't come out right, but like someone who is supportive and is concerned about you and was like, I think something is wrong. Or did you have a moment for yourself where you were like, shit, I really need someone's help to get out of this dark place? Was there that moment, or was it eventually you were just like, cool, I think I should work on some things?
There were definitely numerous times where people tried to address things, but I was sort of, I was just so oblivious of it being an actual issue or it being quite clear, because I sort of went through life of being sort of the bubbly, quirky, sort of weird one. So to suddenly be dealing with stuff and knowing how to mask it quite well, when bits of it creep through, I was like, I don't know how to deal with people seeing that I'm having emotions right now and that I'm struggling. But a beautiful friend that I made when I was in college, Laura, she is still in my life, and she's probably the only person I have that was there from the very beginning of all of this that just, I could say a million things about that woman. Like, she's just phenomenal. But we love Laura.
That's a Laura. Shout out.
But she wanted to get some help herself, actually, to understand how to help me and how to manage everything that was happening herself. So she went to the uni support services and came to me after that and was like, look, I went to these people and they were amazing and they were really supportive, and I think it would be good for you to do the same. And she just sort of planted the seed that led to me eventually being like, okay, something's definitely not okay. So that was sort of the big epiphany moment, I guess.
Well, thank you, Laura. We love Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
Bless. What a good gal. We love her.
We do.
So what was the recovery journey like once you acknowledged, hey, I've got an issue with this, this needs to be addressed, I can't keep living my life like I have been, and then working through everything that comes along with that?
So long. It's still going. It's like, and I think that's, I never want to speak about my mental health and pretend that I'm like hashtag healed. And that's the term I like to use, you know, working social media.
I love that.
And yeah, my psych likes to be like, but you were never broken in the first place. And I'm like, sweetie, come on. Let's be real now. Shout out to my psych. Let's just make this a whole shout out to everyone in my life. But
we love a mental health support network.
Yeah. And the professionals were the biggies for me. But it took me a long time to get the initial support. I remember going to a psychiatrist for the first time, and that was so daunting. That, like, you know, someone speaking to you about medication, and that's another area of so much stigma. But I genuinely believe that healing from anything takes more than one thing. You know, if you break your arm, you get a cast, but you also probably get some, like, painkillers and some physio.
Yeah.
So when you, you know, got a few issues up there, it's chemical imbalance, deal with that, speak to someone about it. There's so, it's just such a complex thing.
Yeah.
Figuring out that I needed numerous of those was difficult, because I also had, in no bad way to them, but I had people in my life who were quite anti-medication. So I had, you know,
that's hard.
Important figures in my life telling me I shouldn't get it, or I shouldn't have this diagnosis or that diagnosis. And that, obviously, hearing that from people, you know, meant to be your, what do they call it?
Inner circle, I guess.
Inner circle? Yeah. Support network?
Yeah.
Support network. Yeah, to hear that from them sort of added quite a lot of extra time for me in figuring out what I really needed and getting to a point of just trusting me over other people. But yeah, sorry, that was a very blabbery little circle of
no, never apologize.
Well, on that note, how did you work with overcoming what people's expectations of you and your mental health journey and the recovery that you had to do, your expectations against what you felt was right for you? Because obviously a lot of us would really struggle with trying to manage those expectations and end up succumbing to them rather than doing what's right for us. But how did you push past that, I guess?
Took a long time. And I think, you know, I still sort of have moments where there are conflict with different professionals or different people in my life where they have differing opinions. And I, for so long, was searching for a simple answer. I was being like, diagnose me with something. Just give me one thing that explains everything.
Yeah.
And that's a very simplified way of looking at things. It isn't just one thing. And I think that's sort of what improved things for me, was realizing probably more than one issue, but everything's sort of in comorbidities, and you can have sprinklings of different parts. They don't define you, but they impact your life, and just figuring out how to spot which ones are really causing a big sort of negative impact.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because when you talk about, when people generally talk about mental health and the things that are impacting them and, you know, what they struggle with generally, there are some people who prefer to distance themselves from it and say, rather than I have anxiety, it's I'm experiencing anxiety, or right now I'm feeling anxious, to try and give that thing less power over them. But there are some people who do lean into that a bit more and they say, yeah, I have anxiety, or I am anxious, or, you know, they take more ownership of it, I guess. So from a language perspective, how have you felt yourself talking about your mental health and the things that you encounter and their relationship with you and who you are as a person?
Yeah, that's such a good question, and so different for everyone.
Totally.
And my opinion on it is no way better or worse than anyone else's. But I think because I went through such a period of not understanding and having years where my life and everyone's lives were being impacted by something that I was like, what is this? I myself wanted an answer. And it wasn't, people around me were concerned about me being labeled and that impacting, you know, job prospects or friendships or this or that or whatever. But in my mind, I was like, if I know the label, I can research it, I can understand it, and I can have just the peace of mind of being like, you're not alone. This is a real thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I was sort of searching for. I was searching for validation of just being like, you're not being dramatic right now. Like something's actually happening, you know?
Yeah.
So in my mind, I think part of the thing is I've never really got a conclusive diagnosis of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never really had that complete clarity, but just getting to a point of knowing what I need to know from the professionals has sort of been it was a big step in the right direction for me and understanding my mental health.
Yeah. And I guess on the note of job prospects and career, obviously at this time you were, and throughout your mental health journey, you've been balancing work and all of these changes that life has thrown at you.
Mm.
What was that like for you? Like, how did you balance everything and manage things? And what were those dynamics like during that time?
Short answer, I didn't. The balance was non-existent. I actually had a tattoo of balance on my arm because I have none of it.
I love that.
But yeah, I think what I in hindsight realized was it was a coping mechanism for me, putting all of my time and energy into my career and into, so I got a commerce degree and I spent a lot of my early years of my career. I started when I was like 19 in the sort of marketing world. I was doing both of them full time.
Wow.
And I was just like throwing everything into that. And the career for me became honestly a very negative coping mechanism.
Right.
Keeping myself unrealistically busy, having zero balance or anything in my life. It was protecting me from some things in my head, but it was also really at the detriment of others. And I think it's funny that I can so clearly say that now because for years I was so just like, no, like it's just ambition. And it's like, it wasn't.
Yeah.
And in full honesty, part of it was me wanting to prove people wrong. People from back when I was first sort of unwell, a lot of me had this drive to just be like, I am okay. People need to know that I'm okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was, the balance wasn't there. And I would not recommend it.
I think you are not alone in this idea of almost proving yourself to others, not just in the workplace, but just in life, to be like, hey, I'm not broken. I don't need help. I don't need fixing. I'm fine. Especially when people start noticing that you're off, especially the people that mean the most to you in the world, whether that's a partner or a friend or parents or whatever it is. That a lot of us who I think struggle with mental health or something in that realm are like, oh, I'm in denial. I refuse to be told that I'm broken and almost want to like double up on like, oh, okay, well, double down, not double up, double down on this idea of like proving our self-worth or proving our worth in whatever we're doing. And it, like, this entire episode has like made me quite emotional because it's just, I've been there and I've been through it. And I don't like comparing stories in the sense of be like, oh, I was worse. Like I was better. Like, oh, I had more labels. But I just understand that that feeling of just wanting to be like, hey, I'm not broken. Screw that. I'm fine. And then you push yourself to breaking point and then you just have this realization. And for me, I think I was in a meeting and I just burst into tears. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that's not good. Like that's not normal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exhausting. And you convince yourself that you're sort of doing the right thing because I think – it just started raining and it distracted me. Sorry.
We're leaving that in.
That's why I've got this here. I'm being like, stay on topic.
I'm always fiddling with something. I don't have anything to fiddle with. I found I almost knocked over my tea. Anyway.
For those of you who are just listening to this, Claudia has a stress ball that she's playing with. a little squishy kind of a whale. It's a whale.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute. We'll take a screenshot and we'll put it on our Instagram.
Yeah. I also have a fidget spinny ring.
How fun is that? Nice. I bought one of them recently. It's excellent.
So good. And this is hashtag healed, you know. I know what I need. I need a spinny ring.
I love it.
Self-soothing.
Exactly. I totally forgot where we were at though. I apologize.
Doubling down into life because you want to prove to others for no reason other than our own self-belief. They're like, oh, if I prove that I can be successful and normal, then I'm not broken, and that'll heal me.
Yes. And I think my other point on that is, like, when you struggle so much with your mental health, obviously not for everyone, but there's often a lot of negative self-talk. I still really struggle with that. If people heard what Same. I said to myself, and I'm sure a lot of people, we're not nice to ourselves. We're not such bitches.
No, like, it's so true.
We're the Regina Georges of our heads. Seriously. It's awful.
But I'm my own villain.
Literally, the Joker is hanging out in there. But I just think that, like, a lot of the stuff that you do where you use negative coping mechanisms of being busy and focusing in your career, you're trying to prove yourself wrong because you're telling yourself the most awful, awful things about yourself.
Yeah.
But if you can do these things that are not humanly possible with careers and uni and this, that, whatever, maybe you'll suddenly be like, oh, I'm fine. Like,
yeah,
be quiet, little voice in the head, you know, not literally, but
you don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
So given your mental health journey so far, and acknowledging that there is still a ways to go because it is one of those processes that you're always going to have moments where you're triggered and you need to self-soothe and heal and move past them, what would you, as current present-day Claudia, tell past Claudia who was really struggling?
You know what? It's actually right here. I've got around my work computer screen just like all these cute little notes and prompts, and this one's from the OG Laura.
Aww,
a little note here that she sent me once, and I would 100% say this to myself. It is, if all you did today was hold yourself together, then I am proud of you. And Aww. In that, isn't that adorable? And just in that whole realm of the pressure that you're constantly putting on yourself, like, when do you actually just take a moment to be like, you know what, like, compared to yesterday, today I had a shower. Or today I knew that I'd need this in my meeting and it made me a bit more present. And, you know, like, just the smallest little things.
Yeah.
So on the days where you're just absolutely against the world, to know that, like, holding yourself together, that's it. That's all you need.
I love that.
Sometimes that's enough.
I think we're going to finish with one last question. Hopefully this is a nice question. But you've been super open with us and super vulnerable, and you've obviously talked a little bit to your low points and that rock bottom, or the several rocks that were being thrown at you. How would you say that today, present Claudia, how do you say your mental health is at the moment?
Would say that it is the best it has been since I ever struggled. I know. Yay! Did I think I'd say that? Probably not. But yeah, I'm just trying, and I'm, you know, staying present. Another note on my computer over here.
I love that.
But yeah,
love that. That's great.
Yeah,
that's so beautiful. What a positive note to finish on. Wow.
Yes, you have to go out with a bang. You know.
Hell yeah.
I am actually going to ask one final question. For those people listening now who may be going through something similar than you were going through, or to what you were going through, what resources do you have, or what advice would you give to them?
In terms of advice, I think the whole idea of just knowing that you're trying your best. We can be so awful to ourselves. And if you just take a moment and just know that you're here and you're trying and that it will get better. Like, I know it's a cliche and it's annoying when people say it when you're really struggling, but I sort of picture myself back when I was in a hospital for a while, and I was like, things can't get any worse. Look, another rock bottom, you know?
Yeah.
And just all of that with the impact that had on every aspect of my life. And I never thought it would get better, but I can happily say that it can get better.
Yay.
Yeah. And in terms of support, services and things, Beyond Blue was amazing. I used Beyond Blue, Lifeline, I did a few Zoom courses with the Butterfly Foundation when I was trying to figure out the eating disorder side of things. Mm-hmm. And just listening to podcasts and educating yourself. I feel like my biggest superpower is just how aware I am of everything now.
Yeah,
I love that.
I just observe everything I do, everything other people do in a non-creepy way. and I'm, yeah.
Peeking out from behind the bushes.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just like, it's such a skill. And I think it's a lot of people that go through things. It's one of the benefits we get that a lot of people don't. They'll never fully understand themselves and emotions and struggling.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's my TED talk.
And that's what true strength and vulnerability is all about, is acknowledging that there are parts of yourself that you may not be super proud of or you may not like and you want to change, but acknowledging that they are parts of you and admitting that you might need help with some of those things, and it's okay to not be okay, and, you know, insert other cliche lines here. Yeah. But it's all about just getting to know yourself and being your own cheerleader, I guess.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Claudia. I know that I, for one, have gained so much from you being so open and being willing to share a little bit more of your story with us and the listeners. So we really, really appreciate it. Where can our listeners continue this conversation with you? Where can they find you on socials and connect?
I'm always up for a chat. You can find me on Instagram, Claudia Flannery, LinkedIn. I occasionally post some mental health related things on there as well, career related things. But yeah.
Amazing. Well, we will put all the resources that Claudia mentioned, as well as all of her social links, in the show notes so that you can jump in there and go follow her, continue the conversation, slide into her DMs, have a bit of a chit chat.
Love a good chit chat.
Beautiful. As always, guys, thank you so much for coming along as we talk about the areas of life that don't always have a one-size-fits-all approach. You know the drill. You can drop us an email, you can drop us a DM, a comment, all of our socials will be linked in the show notes as well.
We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.